We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome into another episode of Candid Coaches Conversations. Every single week, you can find us live streaming. You can find us on all the audio platforms. And we got a great show for you again today with another group of assistant coaches and media members. And today's topic will be how college basketball, the landscape is changing with the addition of the G League Ignite a year ago and now Overtime Elite. Yeah, this would be good. I mean, listen, we've had a bunch of different topics, and we'll never run short for topics. But I felt like this week a good one would be everybody's talking about, obviously a year ago was G League Ignite, right? They signed big-time players. Stephen Pearl knows as well. Jalen Green decides. He told me he was going to go to Auburn. I know he's told some other people he's going to be Memphis, but he told me it was going to be Auburn. Instead, he goes G League Ignite. And Kuminga, I think Joel Kentucky was in there for Kuminga, and Deshaun Nix decides at the last minute, he signs with UCLA. And now you've got Overtime Elite, you know, this league that's taking 16 to 18 year olds and giving them, you know, somewhere in the vicinity, at least $100,000 apiece. And from what I'm told, the Thompson twins got $500,000 apiece plus $150,000 signing bonus. So they're getting paid real, real money as high school kids. And I wanted to bring on guys that are going to be affected by this, which all of you will, because you're all recruiting the high level guys, either have been already or will be. And Jeremy, get your insight too of like, how much is this really going to affect college hoops? I think it is. I really do. Like G League Ignite, I wasn't worried. I was like, all right, you know what? Adam Silver, he's going to take 5, maybe 10 guys a year. No big deal. It's the same as it would have been years ago when kids were able to go high school to NBA. Now you add those where Adam Silver said he doesn't want to get 20 or 30 to now Overtime Elite, which wants 30 guys. Well, if they get 30 guys in the top 50, which I think is a stretch, but if they somehow do 30, even of 100, how much does that drain the talent? So, all right, somebody talk me off the ledge. One of you guys, whoever it is, come out and tell me I am crazy and we have nothing to worry about. Is there anybody that can do that?
I would say for right now, I wouldn't, that's a lot of people, you know, obviously, like you said, the G League, okay, you know, you lose 5 or 10, college basketball is still kind of healthy, all right? But, with this Overtime League, it's still a lot that I don't know about, and maybe some people on the panel know a little bit more, but I just find it hard to believe that they can get 20 or 30 guys right now, because it's still a lot of things to be worked out. Now again, if you're getting 20 and 30 guys, now we have some concerns, but as of right now, I think with, what we're doing right now, changing this NLI thing, I think, you know, hopefully, that'll kind of offset it. I think it will, especially in some of the programs that we, you know, that have that tradition, that following. I think everybody's going to want to be a part of that. I think it's another way of people getting a part of the program. So, for right now, I'm not that worried. I'm more worried about what happens to those two kids if something doesn't work out. What's the plan after that? And then that's when you'll really start worrying, not only for our game, but you're talking about young lives, young men's lives if stuff doesn't work out. Where do they go from there? Because they can't go to college anymore. So now they got to pay for their college education. How do they continue to build? Those are the things that you got to start worrying about when it goes. I know they want to have these programs set up, but you know, I don't know enough about that. But those are the things that I would say right off the bat right now. I'm not that concerned as far as that right now, but as it continues to go, I think that's where you start to have to really kind of see what's going on.
My big question with that is, does going to, let's say they go to the overtime elite league, right? That's supposed to just be a high school league, if I'm not mistaken. Right. And if it is, and we end up passing all of this NIL stuff, does that mean that guys that had some of the sponsorship money or went to the overtime elite league or whatever it was, can they still go play college basketball? Is that going to be allowed? Do you lose your eligibility because you go and you sign with this league? That I think is something that is still yet to be determined. But if college can find a way to allow that to happen, I mean, that's the best case scenario, I think.
I don't think anybody knows the answer to that yet. I mean, listen, how can they know the answer? They have no clue what they're doing yet with NIL. Right? I mean, until we get those parameters, nobody has any clue whether these kids that are getting paid, you know, by overtime elite are going to be eligible or not eligible for college. I mean, NIL should change it. I mean, it should definitely help. I mean, hey, Carowell, when you were coming out of the high school, if somebody had offered you as a junior in high school, you know, 200 grand. Now, 200 grand was a lot more way back then. But if they had offered you 200 grand, wouldn't it have been hard to turn that down in high school or not at all?
I mean, shit, they did. And they did offer. And, you know, for a kid, it would be hard. You know, but my mom, you know, it depends on, who, you know, parents' situations. It's a lot that goes into it. You know, I still believe that amateur college sports is the best amateur route still. College basketball is still the best. I mean, we still, I believe, got the best coaches. You know, you look at the coaches on our panel, these are all great coaches. There's coach at a high level. And Adrian alluded to it earlier. You know, you go to college for the basketball, but it's more about the experience. You know, these kids, we educate these kids. You know, they learn, they come in as young men, but they, you know, we help develop them into being men. And I think that experience is invaluable. And so, yeah, you know, you have all these different leagues and much respect. You know, everybody's situation is different. But I still think college basketball, man, you look at the tournament is still going to be the tournament. It's still going to be the tournament. And the, you know, number one pick is going to be Cade Cunningham. Jalen Suggs. I mean, those guys and Jalen Green, these guys are talented, but I think the exposure that college basketball still brings, I don't think you could, it's tradition. It's years and years built up. That fan base is still going to be there forever. And these leagues, hey man, good luck to them. That's all I say.
Don't slide Evan Mobley over there. Capco is over there.
Yeah, Evan Mobley. Yeah, I just think so. And Kuminga and those guys, they are all talented. No, every situation is different. I still think we still have the best amateur brand.
Chris brings up a great point. And I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, you kind of find out on these visits is there's a lot of parents and a lot of people that still value college for these kids. And they value the experience of these kids going to college. And I think that that's an important thing that we have. And I think they understand the importance of it when they get done playing. Then with the G League and with overtime, there's no numbers or analytics that can back up what that's going to do for these kids when they get done playing. God forbid one of them gets hurt. Like, what does that look like? You get hurt in college. You have the best, you know, at this level, at least you have the best doctors and physicians and people in the world that can help you get back right and get back healthy. If one of those kids got hurt in the G League this year, what was that going to look like for them? You know, another overtime league talked about, you know, giving $100,000 of a scholarship towards their education when they get done. I mean, that, you know, depending on what school they go to, that's not going to cut it for 4 years, especially when they're done playing basketball. Like Auburn's a $70,000 a year school out of state. Like that'll get you through your freshman year and you know, a few weeks of your sophomore year. But it's like, there's a lot of unknowns as far as, you know, what happens after basketball. And I think that's something that's going to cause some resistance in kids going to those leagues. Because, you know, one, like Chris said, like college basketball is college basketball and it always will be. But at the end of the day, it's also a much safer bet for your on the court development and your off the court development.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremy, I'll yeah. chime in
go,
here. Yeah,
go ahead, Jeremy, because you're a different, probably a little bit different voice here, a little more objective than probably all of us that are, you know, we want college basketball to succeed as much as anybody. But what are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, you know, I think everyone has good points here, and it's kind of speaking to the same thing where, look, I mean, every year there are probably a dozen kids tops that we can look at and be like, these guys are for sure ready. They'll go to the NBA and get minutes. It's not always that many, you know. Look at this year's, group of freshmen. I'm not going to name names or whatever, but there are guys who didn't necessarily live up to the ranking, and it happens every year. It's not the fault of the guys who do the rankings, right? It's just that every class is different, and, you know, we look at who are the top 100 players, but the delineation between 1 and 5 and 5 and 7, it's different every single year in terms of how the talent is, right? So I think the players who are really going to be key, and in my opinion, I would guess objectively, just like for you guys as coaches to land, are the guys who you hope are going to be there for 2 or 3 years, right? Who you can develop, who aren't necessarily gone. And I think that's probably the danger in terms of, you know, the talent level in college basketball with these programs suddenly now taking guys who are younger. Now those are the battles you're going to have to win. I think, Jalen Green, Cade Cunningham, those guys were always going to be one and done, and they knew it, and they're good enough. And so from those guys' perspective, it's just going to be individual situations. You know, Evan Mobley, go play for your dad, you know, have a fun year in college, win a lot. Like, you know, those are good situation to be in. But with the NIL stuff, it's not my area of expertise, but it's going to help with those guys too. They'll be able to make a little bit more, you know, off their own, name, whatever, wherever they play. So that probably makes college a little bit more viable from that perspective too. But I think it's the guys who are going to be the longer term investments who you hope you can develop and keeping your program for a couple of years. And that's how you win. You know, it's continuity, right? And that's without even getting into the transfer portal stuff. But, I think that's sort of the frontier that I'm interested in terms of what decisions will the, you know, 15th to 50th best kids be making, right?
Joel, you did this with a lot of kids at Kentucky. I mean, you've had plenty of experience with one and dones. Your thoughts, I guess your overall thoughts on this and how concerned you are.
Well, I think what we've seen, you know, is that college now, I think that folks are looking that they have more options in college. You know, there was a period of time where you looked at, you know, probably one school that was the one and done place. And then it became another school that was kind of the other place that you could go. And now you're looking at two spots, you know, obviously one, you know, Chris being on this call. I mean, and now I think what we have seen is, and everybody on this call has had somebody that's been a one and done. And I think that now I think the folks are looking at, there's different spaces that you can go to. Be a one and done. There's different coaches that are going to prepare guys. And I think that's a good thing for college basketball. I think that folks are now seeing that I can go be myself. I can go play for different coaches. Obviously there's schools that have had more success, but I think that, you know, there's going to be an option now for you to go to a hometown school, you know, with the NIL, that maybe you can make a little bit more money. You can have an impact on the community, you can have an impact on that program. And I think that there's places that would have never imagined having a one and done, you know, and I think that says a lot about the coaching. I think that says a lot about the development. And as much as I want to keep you, you know, near that edge so Steven can come push you off at some point, you know, Jeff, I think that it's you're safe, you know, for right now. The college basketball is here and it ain't going nowhere. And it's going to be great.
I don't think it's going anywhere. Listen, right. I don't think it's going anywhere. But what I will say is, like, there are some pretty big names associated with Overtime Elite, right? We can admit that. Like, if Kevin Durant calls some kid in high school and KD's an investor, Carmelo's an investor, Jay Will's an investor, board of directors, whatever it is. But if KD calls some kid in high school and says, hey, you should go. You should come to Overtime Elite. We know how these kids are, how impressionable they are, right? They all want to be KD. And are they educated enough? Are their parents educated enough at that time? Like, we got two kids that are going into their junior year, mm-hmm. of high school that have already committed, are those kids educated enough to be able to make an informed decision? Like coming out of at least high school and they go to G League Ignite, I feel like they've got a lot more information by then. They've gone through the recruiting. Listen, Jalen Green went through the recruiting process, right, Steve? He went through it all. Mm-hmm. So, like, he had a decision, and he made his decision, and we may not all agree with that, but he had all – he was armed with all the information. These kids, and juniors in high school, I don't know if they're armed with all the information.
It's also very different when you're going into – something that's set up by the NBA strictly to develop these players for the next level, right? Like I just did something on Jalen Green and I watched way too much G League and Ignite tape. And basically what they did was just kind of give him the ball and let him do whatever he wanted. Same thing with Kuminga. Like that team is built around the idea of developing these players and getting them to learn how to implement what they do in practice into an NBA kind of a game. And when you're doing that with NBA coaches and NBA skill trainers and NBA strength and conditioning programs and all that, that's very different than being a 16-year-old and going into a brand new high school league where how are they even going to play? Like if you're going to have an actual league, you have to have multiple teams, right? Like isn't that part of playing games? You have to have at least five guys on each side. And as far as I know, they have what, like five at this point? Yeah. So I don't know how that works. I'm also very interested to see, and maybe Jeremy, you could into how good a guy ends up being at the NBA level. Is like, can he operate under pressure? How does he deal with fans screaming at him? How does he deal with the pressure of being on national television? You're not going to get that from like a glorified pickup game that you would get in the overtime elite league, right? It's still not the same in the G League Ignite program as it would be if you're playing in the Final Four, right? So there's a lot of things to work out, and I think there's a lot of benefits to college basketball still. It's just a matter of whether or not it's the right fit. And at the end of the day, how many kids are actually talking about with this, right? At least for the Ignite program. It's not going to be that many. Overtime Elite, maybe a little bit more, but if the NIL stuff comes around and they allow them to play in college after going to Overtime Elite, might be a little bit different recruiting a kid that just signed a $500,000 contract with Overtime Elite than someone that's coming out of high school. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's a changing landscape.
Jeff, the one thing I would say is the one thing that I think will make it – I agree with everyone that I don't think college basketball is going anywhere, but what I think will help staffs, especially like us, we're going on our third year of having a one-and-done, and we've seen it from both ends, where we've had a one-and-done where the kid's been anointed to be a one-and-done because he's been ranked highly enough or whatever, but doesn't really help you win. He's not ready to help you win yet, and it's not a knock on the kid. It's just the reality of it. As opposed to we've had a couple now who come in, they're one and done's in the sense that their production proved that they were one and done's. They come in, they produce, they show how good they are, how they impact winning, and now they're ready to move on to the next level. For us, we probably won't waste our time unless we're blessed enough to get an Evan Mobley or an Onyeka Okongwu. It's not worth our time because now everyone's going to look at us and be like, hey, you didn't win as much as you should because there's been expectations placed on that kid. And in all reality, they're just not ready to help you win like that. So I think it's going to eliminate some of those and probably help staffs like us out a little more because now we're going to get kids. That's what we built our program on anyways. Kids who have been in our program for 2, 3, 4 years and have been a good foundation, helped us build continuity.
You know, the branding is one thing, right? I mean, they can't – look at Jalen Green this year and Kuminga. We never heard their names. You know, they played 15 games and nobody really watched them. Other than NBA people, Cade Cunningham, obviously, it's a different level of branding. We know that. I just, again, the one I worry about more, I'm not worried as much about the G League. I'm not, because I think the numbers are what they're going to be, a half dozen players every year. Overtime Elite, and I don't know how they're going to make money. That's the other thing. How is Overtime Elite going to make money? Are they just posting stuff on Overtime social media? Like, are they having – Jeremy, do you know any of the answers to that, whether there's going to be a TV deal eventually or
– Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm still kind of like learning more about it too. And I think they're kind of figuring some things out on the fly too. And like until they know what their numbers are going to be, I feel like it's hard. Like the thing I've heard is that they'll play prep schools. Like they're not just going to play themselves. Like I think they're going to get games. They can get games. I don't know. Like I think the original plan – one of the plans with Ignite was they were going to go play overseas. I think COVID obviously, scrapped the potential for that, right? Like, you know, theoretically, you could take Kai Soto, go to the Philippines, have a ton of fans. It'd be a great experience for those guys, right? But like, so I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And I think that's one of the, it is kind of a new frontier in terms of like, what is this actually going to look like? And, you know, in 6 months, we'll probably know a lot more about, you know, what these kids are really being offered recruiting wise, and you know, how it stacks up relative to, you know, going to college for a year or 2 years.
Have you guys been recruiting against Overtime Elite? Any of you guys yet?
No, not yet. Yeah. Not right now.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a prep school. I'm not, I mean, what's my incentive if I'm a prep school to play that league that are basically poaching the guys that would, you know, elevate my job and keep my job going. Like,
if they pay you. Yeah, if they pay you, that's your incentive, right? That's about it.
Right. But as a prep school, like, I don't want to play those guys. Why would I play those guys? Mm. You know? But again, I just don't see I could be wrong. I just, the avenue for them to function and actually become profitable and get, to get a piece of what the college game still has. I don't see it. I don't see it. But I, you know, again, this is changing. So who knows? But I have more concerns about it than I do the G League. I really do, just because like we talked about, what implications does it have about if something doesn't go right? How do they move forward from that at 18 or 19? Is it, you know, like what do you do from there if it doesn't?
We have somebody late to the party, Red. Red, we got somebody late to the party here. He got the time wrong, you know, like he thought it was tomorrow. I mean, we're not going to tell Leonard Hamilton on you here. I mean, I don't know if you've done this on Leonard multiple times and showed up for practice late, but here in the you know, Candy Coaches Conversation, we don't just show up late like this, CY.
At least he's not skipping practice this week. He did that last week.
Oh, now he leaves. Now he just leaves. He checks out after we yell at him. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm with you, Adrian. Like, I'm not freaking out about it, but I do think it's something to monitor. I think it's something you have to monitor and see, because all it's going to take, and it'll be a few years before it probably happens. That's the one thing. The timeline's a lot further away than it is with G League Ignite. Like with Jalen Green, he goes in the top five this year. Like, let's say Jalen Green goes number two. We know what happens then, right? And Kuminga goes five. Like, it changes the whole thought process of these kids. Then a lot of them are like, okay, you're selling me on that. These two kids have gotten the lottery. I'm more apt to at least think about it. Where if they don't.
At the same time, Jeff, where was Jalen Suggs ranked coming out of high school? Like, how many people
think
he's going to be like a top five pick?
Yep.
Everyone thought it was Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green and Evan Mobley. That's who everyone thought was going to be competition for the number one picks. And now we're talking about Jalen Suggs in there because he went to college and blew up and took a team to 31 or whatever they were. I think the best thing for this, Chris, is Zion, right? Like, he's a guy that was, I think he was like number five on 24/7.
He was behind, absolutely, Rob. He was behind RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish.
He was number one on my list coming into the season. I'll leave it. I'll just butt in.
Sure, he was. I saw him at McDonald's that week. Every NBA guy walked away from McDonald's practices being like, he doesn't play that hard.
Right.
It was crazy. Right.
It's crazy. And, you know, I just think that, you know, with our game, you know, I compare it to with these new leagues. You know, it's always going to be the NBA, the NFL. NFL has CFL, XFL, all these other leagues coming around. The thing that we have TV, and if you want to be exposed, if you want exposure, like, and we talk about branding and marketing, our game still reigns supreme. And I don't think that's ever going to change. Even back in the day, the NBA, they had the ABA. That league, it lasted for a while, but the NBA was still the NBA. You know, I think college, you know, of course we can do some things that can, you know, help, but our game, you know, personally, but like our game is still our game. I still think it's the best route for kids. You look at a kid like Scotty Barnes, you know, he goes to Florida, like he's getting, you know, the kids that we get, you know, the high level kids. And if you ask anybody in the NBA that's played in college, they always say, man, damn it. I mean, I had a butt. College was fun. It's, you still get, I mean, Mobley, he, I'm no pretty sure the time that he experienced with his teammates this year is, it, it goes for a lifetime. And I worry about these kids not getting that experience.
Evan has said that. He was glad he did it. Yeah, he was glad he went the route. Yeah. He went in the option he took. And, you know, just his whole experience with his family, but just going to the tournament, the friends he made, and everything was shut down out here. So he didn't – he had the worst college experience out of everybody on the Zoom.
Right.
And he still enjoyed himself thoroughly, so.
I think you guys made it. We all, I think, are at that spot now and even here. But, you know, in my time at Kentucky and even since Coach Calipari's been at Kentucky, we all offer now – that lifetime scholarship, you know, that the guys can come back. And you look at a young person that goes to summer school before their freshman year, their fall semester, and their spring semester. You're taking a nice little chunk out of your academic progress by going, even if you go for 1 year, that these kids that are going straight out, now they're looking at, man, I got to go and do all this work. Whereas if a young person comes in 1 year, maybe they're not quite a one and done. I like the kid, you know, that we have PJ Washington at Kentucky, comes back for a second year. He now has had two summers, two falls, two springs. That's a nice chunk. Now that when he's finished playing and he wants to go back,
you
know, and show his young children now that, daddy graduated from college, you should too. He looks at that as now having a nice chunk to work with versus starting at zero, which I think, I know I wouldn't want to start at ground zero when I'm 40 years old to go back and do college with all that money these guys are going to have. So it shows that you can, and as I said earlier, I mean, you've got now different places that you can go in the college basketball space. Have that lifetime scholarship, as Stephen was saying earlier, have that kind of safety net underneath you if something, God forbid, does go wrong. But then you always have that place that you can call home and go back to.
And like in college, like you got those, like those people at Kentucky are going to invest in those kids when they get done playing basketball. Those kids that leave Duke, you know, USC, Syracuse, Florida State, they're going to invest in those kids when they're done playing basketball. Right. Like they will forever be able to get a job because they played at Auburn. The people of Auburn are always going to love those kids. And I think that you can't put a price on it. Like $100,000 is not a lot of money. Like let's just call it that. That can run out really quick. And I think, you know, like you said, Jeff, it's going to take a couple of years before we actually know what's going to happen with the overtime league. Cause at the end of the day, it's all about what your revenue model is. And right now their revenue model is social media.
Right.
Who's going to pay to watch a game of a bunch of, you know, really good high school players, but they're not going to pay money for that. And while they have a ton of money being poured into it right now, which is why they're able to give these amount, you know, these big dollar amounts out right now, like, at the end of the day, those people have to get a return on their investment. And if they're not getting a return on their investment in 5 years, like they're not going to continue to dump money into a league that's not giving them anything back. So, I mean, you know, like Coach said, college basketball is always going to have the TV naming rights. All that money is going to get pumped into college basketball for forever, giving you the access, giving you the, you know, the tools to do what we do at a very high level. And I just don't think over time, the overtime league's going to have that. And I think that's where they're going to struggle is, you know, where their revenue comes from in a couple of years.
Let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now is the time. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart? They require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. When you win at Bet Rivers Sportsbook, they pay fast. And now, it's even faster with Rush Pay instant approval for withdrawals. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. Go to BetRivers.com today or download the app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Quick break from Jeff and the Gang to tell you today's show is brought to you in part by LinkedIn. Today, many small business owners are busier than ever. Again, as someone who owns a small business, I can attest to that. We are, we're cranking right now. It's great though. It's going to be busy again because they're focused on managing and growing their businesses. That's also correct, right? Trying to manage inventory as possible right now. They can't always spend the time they wish. They could be on recruiting. Also true. Again, as you know, owner of a small business, this is all right on the money. That's why LinkedIn Jobs has made it easier to find and hire the best candidate for free. Okay. Look, we're almost back to normal here. When we finally have the ability to go out and hire someone again, you best believe I'm going to be using LinkedIn Jobs because they post your job free and they reach LinkedIn's network of 740 million professionals. I mean, that's a ginormous talent pool you're picking from. Fill out targeted screening questions to get your role in front of the most qualified candidates with the experience, skills, and motivations you need. Then use the simple tools to filter, prioritize the top candidates of the interview. Seems simple, no? LinkedIn Jobs will help you hire just the right person for your role. And your first job post is free. That's free, folks. Just visit LinkedIn.com/good. That's LinkedIn.com/good to post your first job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Siwa, I asked everybody this before. If anybody's gone up against Overtime Elite yet recruiting, the two sets of twins, weren't they both from Florida?
Both sets. Both
so
sets.
Have you, were both you recruiting either?
Recruiting heavy.
You were recruiting heavy. Both of them?
Recruiting heavy. And, you know, they made that decision. The two big kids, the Beulie kids.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised that they made that decision because they were very, very basketball oriented. I was surprised that the Thompson sets of twins did it. I'm surprised just because they're big time students. They go to Pinecrest. They're like 4.2 students. You know, I mean, education seems to be a, not saying that the Beulies don't value education, but you could tell their focus was basketball. But I always felt like the Thompson family really valued an education. And, you know, I know, I apologize to everybody on the call. I had official visiting camp drama. And, so I'm running in here late, but I want to say this, my concern, and I want to say this publicly, is we got guys who go to college, and I'm not going to call names of certain guys that make it to the NBA. But when they finish, they have, psychological issues, after leaving the game. I think it's something unhealthy about being solely focused on basketball at that young age. I think we're setting a generation of players up that, and some of these guys are the real deal now. Some of these guys are silverbacks now. Them Thompson twins, they rough. They pros, G. Ain't no doubt about that. They make my alarm go on. But when you only going to play 14 years. So you 20 years, you play 14, you 34. Now from 34 to 80, you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life. Even if you have the money, you don't have a skill, you don't have contacts, you don't have a degree. I just think it's something unhealthy about not being a well-rounded young man. And that's my concern. I'm glad they're giving them another option, right? I guess they're saying that they're going to educate them in some form or fashion. I'm hoping and praying that that's true because Carwell's right. No matter what they do, they ain't going to touch college basketball. I mean, everybody always talk about college basketball. Hey, the product is going to go down, but it's so many players out here. And I love everybody. I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't trying to fight, right? I go and try to get Antonio Blakeney in Sarasota. If he don't want to come, then I go get Malik Beasley in Atlanta. You're all right. I'm good. You know, if DeJuan Hill don't want to come from Miami, then I'll go get Mafondo Kamigeli and we'll make him a pro. You know, it's so many players out here. Or I'll go find Devin Vassell, who Presbyterian wanted. So it's always going to be other guys that develop and flourish when they're given an opportunity. So I'm just concerned about the mental health when they finish playing. You know,
that's a great point. No, it's a great point. You think about it, but when you say it, it hits you of like, hey, these kids are all, whether it's G League Ignite. Yeah. They got a group. They got a group of five or six dudes that they're friendly with, but it's not the same as being on a college campus, having lifelong friends, you know, going out. Like, it's just, it's a totally, I mean, again, it sounds corny, right? Like, college is the best four. For me, it was 4.5 years of my life. I tried to string it out as long as I could. But yeah, I mean,
I did five, Jeff. I was on the 5-year plan.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, I would have went longer if my parents had paid for it. I probably would have went longer. They'd had enough, but yeah, I mean, I do think college has so many advantages beyond just, again, the exposure, the TV, all of that. I remember talking to Danny Ainge. I think it was when Jalen Green, I forget it, who made the first decision to go G League Ignite, but I remember calling him and talking to him about it. And that was the first thing he said. He was like, but college is college. Like, it's, you got your boys, you got, you know, you got your group. Like, it's different. You can always go back to that. What are you going to have with G League Ignite?
And Jeff, more than just your boys and your friends, like, you learn how to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With
yeah.
professionals. Like, that time you spend sitting and talking with the SID,
yep.
that time you spend talking to a professor or an assistant AD or a counselor on campus, you learn how to network and become a young adult, and you start making contacts life after basketball. And then you meet friends. For me, when I went to Georgia Southern, meeting regular students that I built relationships with that were talking about opening businesses and doing different things, you know, some of these guys I got contacts with now, and we do business. And it's just, to miss that part of your development outside of basketball, you know, it's scary. That's scary. I'm talking about, you know, from 15, all you do every day is play basketball. All day, every day. You don't never have to go to theater class and write a paper, you know what I mean, or speak in a play or in terms of developing when this thing is over. That's scary, man. It's setting these kids up for failure, because even when they have the money, guys are struggling.
Yeah. Our problem is we, you know, we can talk about all these things, see why we can get in front of these kids and these families, and we can talk about all the advantages, but they hear $500,000 and all logic, all reasoning, like, it doesn't mean anything, you know. And you can sit here and talk about, you know, what your brand's worth after going to college for a year. You know, we talked about Zion, like, it's the perfect example. Talk about Jalen Suggs, like, the perfect example of what the NCAA tournament, what college basketball does for your brand, for your value, for your net worth as you become a professional, on top of all the different things that you talked about with networking and meeting new people. But at the end of the day, they hear $500,000 or, you know, $1 million over 2 years. And it's like, how do you, you know, how do you compete with that in you know, in that 2 year span? It's just so hard, you know, having gone through it and having dealt with it with a few guys. It's just, it's really hard to kind of come back and, you know, just trying to talk about on the other side of things. And I understand where they're coming from, because some of these kids, you know, don't have never even like seen, you know, have never had anything, you know, they've never had anything. And to have the opportunity to take care of their family to an extent for a couple of years is something that they're, that's very attractive to them. So, you know, our biggest challenge is going to be, how do you get through to those guys explaining all those things and explaining all the advantages of going to college?
And the sad thing is, I don't know if you can.
I know.
Like, I think you got to let everybody judge their own situation. You know, how can you tell a kid not to take $500,000 when they come from a low income situation?
Can't. You can't. I just hope they make the right decision. You know, again, it might be the right decision at the time, but if you're playing the long game, right? I mean, it's a different ball game if you're looking down the road. And listen, you know, I deal with my 17-year-old daughter. She doesn't know how to play the long game. She all she cares about is now, nothing else. She's not even looking at tomorrow. So again, how hard is it to be able to teach these kids? You know, it's got to be the parents. It's got to be the people around them that tell them, hey, you know what? It's great. 100 grand, 200 grand. You know, the twins got 500 grand, the Thompson twins. But again, down the road, look at what Cade Cunningham is going to make now. It's, and look, talk to Cade Cunningham. Like, I think we need to do a better job of that. I think we need to do a better job of getting the kids who went through the college experience to advocate and hear from Cade Cunningham and hear from Evan Mobley and some of these kids, Jalen Suggs, who made the decision. Let's hear from them, who, you know, they have the option Cade could have made $1 million probably, or close to it, if he had gone G League Ignite. I want to hear from him. He's our best for the game. He's the best salesman.
I agree with you totally. I've been thinking that, and I've been saying that probably the last 3 or 4 years. You know, our game, we need to have spokesmen. And not just us coaches, because everybody looks at the coaches like, hey, you know, it's your self-interest.
Yeah.
But to hear from, you know, the Zions and, you know, the RJs and all of those guys, and let them talk, because now they're the next, they're the next group to have the influence on these younger kids, you know, right. And all these guys, you know, to share their experiences and the messaging, you know, that would be more powerful than any type of commercial we can put together, any type of advertisement. Is having those kids talk about their experience, and then obviously put the data to it about where they were before they had that college experience.
Have you talked to Mello? Have you talked to Mello at all, who's an investor in Overtime Elite, about this, or not really?
I haven't. It's one of those things where, for me, I'm like CY, like it's, and he said it perfect, like life skills last a lot longer than the game, you know. And we all are here, and we've all been in this game and involved in this game. But right now, what we're doing to be able to work to with, you know, fortunately, you know, health and everything, you know, a lot longer than we ever could play or run up and down, is more valuable. It's more valuable than anything. So that the overtime one is the one that I really I get the G League, I get the Ignite again. But the overtime one is where I have the questions and concerns, because we're talking, now you're talking about 15, 16, and 17-year-olds just exclusively locking in. And you know, it's not even homeschooling. It's like homeschooling, but just, you know, you're not interacting. You're not learning those other skills that you need to be successful. And to be successful in anything you need to be able to communicate. You need to be able to develop those relationships to get to where you want to go. You know, you don't go at it alone. And that's the one thing.
Let me say this. Jeff and I tried to get a representative from those leagues on this call, and I so wish that they were there to give their perspective, because what I don't want is this call to feel like this is a college bash in those leagues, because they're opening opportunities, they're opening up some jobs. But, you know, what scares me, and everybody care well, you know, you got the guys on this call, Capco, you guys played with guys that were pros and big time players. And everybody's on this call has seen the end of the movie when a guy who has finished playing pro ball cannot function in the real world. That's one of the saddest things you ever want to experience. I mean, I'm 49 years old. I got guys who played in the late 80s, early 90s that played in the league longer than I did, played in Europe. Now that they're finished, we're 49 years old. I got guys who played in the league calling me saying, hey, see, why can you help me get a coaching job? You know what I mean? Like, the end of the movie ain't pretty. And that's what, you know, we got. But I do wish that somebody was on this call to give their perspective so we can understand the league more. I know a few people in the league, and I respect them, and
no, they got some good. Listen, Kevin Ollie, we haven't talked about it. Kevin Ollie, coach.
You guys are good.
Right? Yeah. Brandon Williams, personnel guy. He's been assistant GM for Sacramento. I know Brandon, terrific guy, high character guy. You know, Dave Lato, right? An assistant coach, isn't he?
Yeah. That's big time. I mean, those guys are high level guys.
G League Ignite, it's got Brian Shaw. Like, you're not doing much better than Brian Shaw and Sharif running it. So, like, they've got people at least in place. They're not just putting some slapdick out there. They're putting good people. It's a
good family show, Jeff.
All right. You can Rob will edit that out. Rob will bleep that out. All right.
Good family show here, man.
you showed up late this week. You get no editorial, you know. Right over anything that happened, you showed up too late.
I'll take that. I'll take it out of my check, Jeff.
So, what else can be done, guys? I mean, is there anything that can be done? Obviously, NIL is going to help. Again, we agree that maybe we need to hear more from the Zions, the Cades, the Suggses, the Mobleys, guys like that. Is there anything else that can or should be done. Jeremy, you got any ideas?
Well, I was going to say, like, I think one thing also to keep in mind here that's going to be – it's another variable that no one really knows how it's going to work is just, you know, I think part of why the NBA felt the need to go into this space is because I think with the realization, you know, a few years ago we were all talking about, you know, when is the NBA going to change the age limit? I mean, that didn't happen. You know, the new collective bargaining agreement, 2024, I believe, is when it's up. And I think the thing I consistently have heard from people around the NBA is, you know, it hasn't been a huge point of urgency for the union, for the players union, to get younger. I think the NBA teams are okay with it because it's easier to evaluate guys when you have more time. You know, you mess up when you have to draft teenagers. Not that we're not doing that now, but, you know, the younger you get, the harder it is to predict. So the question is, you know, will the age limit change? Will they go to 18 again in 2024? And how is that going to affect overtime elite? You know, will the NBA continue to have Ignite? Like, these are all variables that are, these are longer term questions. And you know, obviously right now, all we can worry about is now, you know, these kids have the short term, you know, next 3 years pathway to college or pro, but, that's something I think it's worth keeping in mind too, is, you know, the longevity of something like this, you know, these startup, situations, you know, what type of impact that's going to have. I don't know the answer. I'd be curious if anyone has thoughts on that, but it's, I think it's something that is hanging over the whole thing. It's when it'll, you know, the landscape will change again.
Anybody want to jump in on that? Or, I mean, again, you know, part of it is, as Jeremy's saying, like high school to NBA, is that going to go back into place? That's been something that, that's been talked about for a while. You know, to me, originally I was like, you know what, let's just go back high school to NBA like we used to do. It's probably going to go that route anyway. But, you know, I feel like, listen, we wouldn't have got Kevin Durant in college. Some of these guys, and I saw Kevin Durant and how he grew that 1 year at Texas. It was huge. This was a kid that honestly couldn't say a word before he got to college. Like nothing. Quiet, like, and then he goes to Texas. And Scott McConnell, the SID, throws him out there, throws him the Wolves. And, man, like that year did wonders for Kevin Durant. So I would say for me personally, I've just seen even 1 year. And I don't know, Chris, if you want to speak to this, Capco, about how it helped Evan. I talked to him before the year. He was like Kevin Durant. He didn't say much. He was good, but he didn't want the attention. He was super quiet, the nicest kid in the world. What did the year, obviously it wasn't the same year as Kevin Durant had because Evan wasn't doing as much media stuff and everything like that, but it makes a difference.
It definitely does because of the exposure he got, the attention for a kid who doesn't want attention forces you to speak, and it helped him grow up, you know, within his teammates. It's for him being 19 years old, it was hard for him to assert himself in front of 22-year-old seniors. So as we went on throughout our season, it got easier for him to do that. Now imagine him doing that with 25, 26, 31, 32-year-old men. So I think that helped him. You know, the growth physically helped him. Learning the game helped him. I mean, I think experience, all that experience will only help him. And I just think he liked being around the guys, though, being around his boys, going through this experience. And like I said, it was even more unique for him because we didn't have a lot going on out here. It was really more isolated than it was a lot of other parts of the country. But just to, you know, just how you go on the road trips, how you hang out with the guys, they were still able to go out occasionally. Little things like that that you're doing in college that at least he got the experience. And just the learning curve. The learning curve, I don't blame the NBA for not wanting to get into high school gyms. There's such a steep learning curve for those kids when they're 17, 18 years old, and you're going into that league. And so it's a steep learning curve coming to us, but at least they're around, you know, like-sized kids or like-age kids, and it makes it a little more easier. But I think it did help him, Jeff, to answer your question. I think the year of getting attention for a kid who does not want attention helped him out a lot in his growth and his maturity. He was already a mature kid, but I think it helped him in that aspect and will only provide a better platform for him as he goes on to the next level in terms of asserting himself, his confidence, and things like that. Jeremy, one question I wanted to ask you was, this was the first year of the G League Ignite. If we were having a normal season or a normal year, would those kids have gone through a normal G League schedule? I know it was condensed because of the G League bubble, but like if they were to choose the G League Ignite, would they go through the Westchester Knicks, Des Moines, Iowa Wolves, travel, play that full schedule for the NBA to evaluate them on those terms, or is it going to be a more condensed schedule with, you know, to, I guess, I don't want to say cater to them because I don't know if they're catering to them, but to, I guess, help them out more?
Yeah, I think that was the plan. And my guess is that's how it would have happened because, you know, originally it was like, well, will they go overseas? Will they play in like youth tournaments? But then you look and, you know, they filled their roster out with G League vets, right? You had, you know, Reggie Hearn, guys like that who were, you know, on their team to sort of help them bridge the gap. And I think with that in mind, my guess is they would have played that whole schedule. And, you know, it also creates jobs for, you know, some of those pro guys. They weren't totally overmatched too. I think that was one of the impressive things in the bubble is, you know, they were okay. They didn't, you know, win, but they were, you know, I think about 500. They might have been like a game under 500 in the bubble. It's honestly better than I thought they were going to be. I thought my expectations were low, you know, having, you know, scouted all those guys individually in high school too. So, but yeah, I think to your question, yeah, I think the plan would have been, and my guess is that this year we'll see it, as these guys will play a more normal, G League schedule.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate to everybody on the call because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, right? My wheels are turning. And again, I wish we had overtime and G League representatives on here to speak their perspective. Cause again, I respect those guys. Them guys that they got running the league are really, really good. So I want to hear what anybody on the call has to say to when I make the point that, LaMelo Ball went over to Australia or wherever he went and came back and is killing in the NBA. Luka Doncic was a pro right away. He comes to the NBA. The NBA is a joke to him. Brandon Jennings did it. And now the one that's kind of shocking me, to be honest, and I've always loved the kid and tried to recruit him, couldn't get anything going with him, but it's shocking me that RJ Hampton is starting to play well in the NBA. And he's a guy that went to play pro basketball. So now when you look at those four guys and you're a parent or a coach and you got a kid that you think is a pro and you want him to be the most prepared, you're looking at Luka Doncic, you're looking at LaMelo Ball, you're looking at Brandon Jennings, you're looking at RJ Hampton, and you're saying they're more prepared than college guys coming out. Now, I don't know what the answer is. I'm talking to everybody on the call playing devil's advocate.
I think it goes back to a little bit of what I said earlier, you know, CY. And I know you're a big proponent of the new blood, you know, is I think that we have now seen that there are multiple avenues to make it. And I think that if you do the research as a family and you look at each situation, each one of those guys' situations, RJ's, LaMelo, Luka Doncic playing overseas. And we had a young man at Kentucky a couple of years ago that came out with a huge rep. And I wonder if what would if his kind of life look like today if he would have maybe gone straight kind of after a big summer at Nike Skills and coming out and then comes to college and maybe it wasn't the right fit. You know, is his situation at Kentucky. But now you're looking at what we have seen is I think young people are now seeing that they go to where they best fit. And with a style of a head coach, maybe the smaller campus, a bigger campus, maybe it's a more of an urban setting versus a rural setting, or maybe it's an international setting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to, you know, see that is that there are so many different ways that you can do it. That's where it's exciting to me because I think that now we're giving everybody an opportunity to go and do things. And they can make the choice.
And I just want to say real quick, I don't want to keep talking over everybody. But you know, to what CY said, I think one thing we have to be careful with, you know, the four examples you use, I mean, I think it's interesting because there's a range of outcomes for these guys too, right? I mean, like Ben Jennings had a good career, wasn't as good as people thought, right? RJ Hampton, we'll see. Like I wasn't super, you know, he fell in the draft. We'll see what happens. I would hesitate to ever use Doncic as an example just because he's going to be one of the best players ever when it's over, right? So I would hesitate. Like, and if LaMelo, I think is sort of an outlier too because his life is so unusual, right?
He played pro ball. That's my
point. Yeah, but I'm just saying, dude. But look, bro, if you drop that dude with as good as he is, you drop him anywhere, he would have been this good, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, his development was accelerated by being a pro earlier, but I mean, that's one of the best players ever, bro. He's going to be one of the best when it's over. So like, I just, and this is probably going to help you guys too, if you're recruiting, talking to parents, like, I don't think LaMelo is a good example to use because most kids just aren't, his life is so strange. Right. So it's just like, if we're talking about what's like the median, what is like the median outcome for a kid? I think RJ Hampton is a good example because he was maybe a little bit overhyped. Wasn't his fault. You know, everyone kind of figured out how good he was. He was still a first round pick. You know, he's still going to have a chance to, I don't know, whether it's Orlando, whether it's somewhere else in the future, he'll have a chance to have a good NBA career. Right. But it's like, what's like the median outcome for these kids? And that's what I'm curious about. Right.
Because like, we can go the other way.
Everyone's going to be a star. Right.
See why we can go the other way and go Jeremy Tyler and start rattling off those dudes too.
Give me a couple more. Give me a couple more.
I'm trying to think of the other ones that that didn't pan out that went overseas.
Jeremy, give me a couple more. Make me feel good.
I got to think.
I know Jeremy's right. I don't get emotional. I read the data. You can't be blurt, man. Give me some data.
I mean, with the, I don't want to be like, listen, all the guys who fail, but you know guys fail all the time.
I do think it's worth noting, though, that there's probably something to the fact that you can be 19 years old and go to a professional league and go up against guys that are fighting for that last contract or are 28, 29-year-old full-grown men. The kind of having the mental makeup or the mindset to be able to handle something like that and to get thrown into a situation where you're on the other side of the country, right? If you're in Australia, you're not going to be able to FaceTime with your friends because when it's morning there, it's going to be night where you are and vice versa. So I do think there's something to be said that maybe the kids that have been thrown in that situation are more predisposed to being able to have success immediately in the NBA because they're just wired a certain way. They're tough. They're mentally tough, whatever it is. I do think that that's part of it as well. But I would just kind of echo what Jeremy said with Luka. Like that one seems like a weird one for the conversation just because he was, Jeremy, do you know when he actually got into like his first club team?
He was like 15 or 16 right? When he got with Madrid, right?
Yeah.
Cause he was playing for their first team when he was 17. That's when he like broke into like the senior team. So,
yeah, and the other part
of it's unusual, yeah.
So I think it makes sense to compare some of those guys to the G League Ignite program. I don't know if it works for Overtime Elite because again, they're going to play in like a high school or a prep league or whatever it ends up being. You're going up against other 16 and 17 years old. To me, it doesn't look all that different than if, you know, seeing IMGs pop up and Montverde's pop up. Jalen Green went and played in the G League against a bunch of guys that are 25-year-old former All-Americans that are trying to get back to the NBA. That's very different than being a 17-year-old that's playing in a league that is going to be kind of built to create Instagram highlights. So I think that what they're doing in those levels is very different than what we'll see out of Overtime Elite. And that's not to bash Overtime. I mean, look, if you can go and get $500,000 as a 16-year-old, it's very hard to tell people that's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that level of basketball is going to be comparable to what Jalen Green saw or even what LaMelo Ball saw and RJ Hampton saw when they were in Australia.
And I have one other question for you guys as coaches too, just to like put this in perspective. And I'm curious what everyone's answers. Like what makes life harder for you guys? Like the threat of losing some recruits or just like the other thing we see every year is guys are turning pro after 2 or 3 years of college, but aren't necessarily going to even get drafted. Right. And you lose guys, they go pro, but shit. I mean, you could be all conference players. Every year that happens, guys go early. Right. So it's like,
see why
you're not, I'm not talking about young guys. I'm talking about juniors and seniors. Right. My bad. But like what's harder for your guys? What makes your lives harder? Like the transfers and the lack of continuity and the struggle to maintain that or the possibility of like losing, you know, maybe a dozen guys off the board you can't recruit every year.
I think the transfer portal is the worst thing that we have. I hate it. I mean, these kids, they soft. The parents is crazy. I'm just being 100. It's just like,
you know, tell us how you really feel.
I'm just saying, it's really just like, you know, these guys don't want to develop. You can't coach them hard. Then, you know, if things not going their way, they leave. I just think it, you know, for a life lesson, and we've been talking about that. It's tough because I tell my son this, and I got a 20-year-old. I said, someday you're going to have to step out on your own too, my boy. and become a man. And you can't, mommy can't help you. And I think the worst thing about our game now is that dang transfer portal. I can't. I mean, we had like 1,200 kids and 1,300 kids in the transfer. That's ridiculous, man.
We got more than that, Carol.
I know. It's crazy. It's just crazy, man. I just – so for me, Jeremy, that is a concern.
Yeah.
Because you can – you know, it's tough, and it's just tough. I hate it. So.
Yeah, Jeremy, like I said earlier, I think on top of what Chris just said, the transfer portal makes it tough. But the hardest thing, I think, is when you get a kid who's been anointed a one and done, who doesn't provide you continuity in your program, and then the unrealistic expectations that come with a kid who in all reality is expected to go one and done, but doesn't have one and done production.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone looks at you, your fan base, your administration, like, man, if you're not winning with him, you can't coach. But in reality, we know he's probably not ready. And there's been an expectation that's been placed on him that's just not realistic. And then you don't get any continuity out of him anyways.
It's funny. All you guys.
I'll give you another one with the Ignite and the Overtime League. Something that's going to start to happen is, you know, obviously we invest a lot of time into these kids. And, you know, while you're recruiting certain guys out at the top of your list, you're trying to keep other guys warm. Some of these guys are going to drag this thing out as long as they possibly can to kind of see if they can get into the Ignite League or if they can get into the Overtime League with a certain amount of money. You're going to miss out on a bunch of guys that want to come to your school, recruiting guys that you think might be better fits for your program. And we've gotten burned on this a couple times already, spending too much time on guys that ended up, you know, taking that professional route. You're going to miss out on a lot of guys that, you know, you could have been recruiting that wanted to take that college route. So that's one. I mean, the transfer portal sucks, but at the end of the day, it sucks for all of us. And there's going to be a bunch of guys to choose from. So when you do lose a guy, you can at least reload. This professional thing, sometimes you get stuck, you know, you get stuck with nothing.
Well, look at Mick Cronin. I mean, Mick Cronin, it worked out for him okay because he had it was so late with Knicks. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we were recruiting Jalen, and, you know, obviously, you know, Chris made a great point earlier about recruiting guys that got you, like, our Final Four team was, CY can speak to this because he, you know, and Joel, like, saw the makeup of that team. It was a bunch of three-star players that just developed and got really freaking good, and they were juniors. And they were, you know, juniors and seniors by that point. And that's how we became so successful. We've gotten from that success, we've gotten involved with some really good players, but we got involved with Jalen Green. Jalen Green saw us, he's coming to Auburn all the way up until the very last second when he ends up going to the G League. And you can't fight the kid on that. Like, he's one of the, that makes all the sense in the world for him to do that. It's a professional route. He's going to get drafted, you know, in the top five regardless of what he does. But at the end of the day, we missed out on some really good players because, you know, we were kind of dragging it out with Jalen. So that's another thing that could pop up, Jeremy, is people spend a lot of time on these kids. And then at the very end, they lose them to overtime or to the G League.
And Steven, did you guys have Davion Mitchell on that team?
We had Davion his freshman year he played behind Jared Harper. Yeah. And didn't want to come back and be secondary to Jared and ended up going to Baylor. So, obviously it worked out great for Davion because Davion's just a dog, you know, and he's the ultimate competitor. But you know, we lost one of the toughest, most competitive dudes in all of college basketball, a kid that you never think would ever transfer from a school, you know, but he did, you know, so it shows how tough this job can be at times when you think you got a guy that's solid for 2 or 3 years. You know, and he's gone. So it sometimes leaves you scratching your head a little bit.
And I didn't ask you that to open that wound. I think college basketball is going to be all right because there's going to be plenty of Davion Mitchells who are still in school for 3 years who are just dogs and killers, and we're going
to
be all right.
We went to the Final Four the year after Davion left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we won the SEC his freshman year. He transfers. We bring in a kid named Javon McCormick, who's a JUCO from Lee College, who no one is recruiting. Comes in
and great evaluation.
Saves our ass. Sorry, CY. Like 2 or 3 times in our 12-0 run in March when Jared got in foul trouble. And it's like, so like, back to the point a lot of you guys made, there's so many players out there that regardless of what happens with this professional stuff, there's going to be players to fill rosters and there's going to be a product that is college basketball. And people are still going to watch that way more than they're going to be watching the Ignite team or the Overtime League.
Well, I got a public announcement to everybody on the call, you know, especially Division I guys. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for JUCO coaches. We are all JUCO coaches. I'm about to start going and getting some professional development. I'm going to find three big time junior college coaches and go out there and learn how they manage their team turning over every year, because evolution is here. The student athletes, they have more of a voice now. The Davion Mitchells of the world. I mean, I hate that Davion Mitchell transferred from Auburn, but when you look at what he did and why he did it, he felt like he was better than Jared Harper. He needed to be playing. And he might have been right.
He might have been right. Maybe not at the top.
Hey, listen, he is now. He was not back then, I promise you. All the credit to him, though. He went out there and started working, and he developed into the player he is now. So, I mean.
Got to give him credit, right?
You got to. I was the first one to text him and congratulate him. I'm happy for him, you know. That's part of what we do.
All right, well, listen. Guys, we're going to wrap.
Oh, yeah, he's going high now. Yeah, he's going high. Yeah.
Well, he learned that.
All right, listen, guys. We appreciate it. Everybody jumping in. Great combo as always. G League Ignite. I don't think anybody's too worried about the G League Ignite. I think there's a lot of questions with Overtime Elite. I think that's fair to say right now. It'll be interesting to see how those go. But again, thanks for joining us, Candid Coaches Conversation. Every single week, catch us with a different topic, and maybe next week, see why I will show up on time.
Hey, Justice and Carewell, new blood.